Thank you, Dave, and good morning to each one of you. Hope you're doing well, and I know you're wondering what were in all those packages those children were getting. I don't know, but I bet it was some good stuff. I'll never forget one of our fellows. He's actually a college student now, but I always remember he was just a little fella at the time. I won't give his name, but I remember he came up, and a lot of the kids were getting these big packages and gifts and bags, and he came up and they handed him an envelope. Well, the envelope had money in it probably, but he got that envelope and he looked at that. He turned it over. He looked at the other side. He looked around and just kind of like, man, I worked all year for this. An envelope, you know, hopefully he, now if he got that envelope, he'd be tickled. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, as we continue our study of the armor that God has provided for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been looking at the nation of Israel in a study starting back in the book of Exodus and taking us all the way to Joshua as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan. And as they are entering the promised land, we have found that our promised land is not a geographical territory, but rather it's a spiritual realm, a heavenly realm. The heavenly place is in Christ, but not waiting till we get to heaven to enjoy that. God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire and design is that each one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior would be able to enjoy now, right where you are today, enjoy the blessings spiritually that He has poured out and He has provided through the death and burial and resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus. But as we've done this study through Ephesians, we've seen that the enjoyment of those blessings does not come without a battle. Now, when the nation of Israel got to the promised land and they crossed the Jordan River and God said, I've given you the land, now go in and possess it. There were enemies there seeking to stop them from possessing what was rightfully theirs according to God. Well, the same thing is true for us today who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. God has given us spiritual blessings. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But we also find out that there are enemies who are trying to stop us from enjoying the blessings. We're reading about one of those enemies and his army here in chapter 6 of Ephesians. We'll begin at verse 10 again as we read concerning this armor that God has provided and the enemy against whom we need this armor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's Satan and his demons. They're real and they're active. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We've looked at the belt of truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, we've looked at that piece of armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, the shoes that we have provided for us. Again, a spiritual picture here from a physical reality. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we've looked at that shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to stop our reading there for sake of time. And last Sunday morning, we began to look at this piece of armor, which is described here as the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation. And we have seen that the head, even with all of the other armor and even with the shield, the large shield that the Roman soldier would use for protection in hand-to-hand combat, we find that the eyes from the eyes up would be exposed to the enemy. And so the Roman army, as many armies down through history and even today, they would wear some type of helmet. And that helmet would be designed to protect the head. the skull, the brain. And we see that Paul has taken that and brought it into the spiritual realm for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus, who have been saved by His grace, not of our own works, but the gift of God. Those who have received the Lord Jesus as Savior, we are in the spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. We're no match for this opposition. But God has provided the armor that we need. And included in it, this armor is the helmet of salvation. And as the physical helmet would protect the soldier's head and brains from the blows of a sword or a battle or an axe or a spear or an arrow or a fist or whatever the enemy might use, so the spiritual helmet of salvation protects not so much the physical organ of the brain, but rather what is described as the mind. The mind, that spiritual part of you, that soulish part of you, that makes you different from the animals that God has created. And that mind is able to take information that comes through the brain and is able to process that into reason and to use your mind to respond to the circumstances around you. And we saw last week that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul reminded believers in the Lord Jesus that just as Satan came and attacked the mind of Eve in the Garden of Eden, so he is seeking to attack the minds of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We read there that Paul says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity or the single focus that is in Christ." And he goes on to talk about false teachers who have come in and sought to spread things that aren't true. And there are many people doing that today. Many agents of Satan, some knowingly, many unknowingly, are being used by Satan to spread what is not true. And Satan is attempting to deceive the children of God. And if you have been saved, if you have been born again by faith in the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and shed His blood for your sins and was buried and rose again, if you have trusted Him alone for eternal life, then the Bible says that you are in the army of God and you are an enemy of Satan. His primary enemy is God, not you and not me. We're just a sideline, but we're a way that Satan can go against God, that Satan can oppose God by coming in and opposing us. And if he can bring down the testimony of someone who claims to stand for Jesus Christ, then he is able, in his mind, to deflect some of that glory that goes to God. And so Satan is out to get you. He is out to deceive you, and he is attacking your mind. He has a goal. And his goal is to disrupt or destroy right thinking. Right thinking that is based on the Word of God. Right thinking that would look at the circumstances of life and would see them from God's perspective. And Satan wants to come in, and his demons have the desire to get you to not think rightly about the things in your life and about yourself and about God and about your purpose here and about your future, but rather Satan's desire is that you would replace the things that God would have you to think about, and he would replace that with wrong thinking. And there are many ways that this wrong thinking can be evidenced in our lives. It may be evidenced through worry. It may be evidenced through fear or anxiety or doubt. Maybe even hopelessness or emptiness. Sometimes it's evidenced through confusion, as people are confused, as we are confused about what God is really saying. Sometimes it's evidenced through impurity and immorality, or maybe discontent and greed and laziness and sensuality, maybe materialism or resentment or bitterness or jealousy or envy. And there are many other ways that this thinking can be evidenced in the life of an individual. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, when we admit to God, "God, I am a sinner. God, I am separated from you and I deserve to be punished forever in being separated from you. But I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died for my sins. I believe He was my substitute. I believe that He took my place there at Calvary and He shed His blood for me. And I believe He rose again and I receive Him as my Savior. And I'm not saying you have to say all of those words. But when that's the true intent of your heart, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as your only hope, and you receive Him as Savior, then God the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and our thinking is changed. Some of that thinking is changed immediately. Some of that thinking is changed in a process. But we have a new mind. We have a new foundation on which to build our reasoning and our responding. We have a new perspective, a new worldview, a new attitude, a new purpose. But Satan is still attacking. He's still attacking, and that's why Paul wrote to believers and said, take up the helmet of salvation. God is offering this helmet. Put it on and keep it on and keep it in the right position because Satan is attacking. Satan is attacking. Well, here in the book of Ephesians, look back at chapter 4, we mentioned this last week. There's a vital principle when it comes to having on the helmet of salvation, and it's the principle of renewal. Renewal. Over in chapter 4 of Ephesians, let's just pick up our reading in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Learned, that's thinking of knowledge coming into our minds. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him or in Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we find here in verse 22 that we're putting off something. In verse 24, we're putting on something. And in the middle, in verse 23, our minds are being renewed. Now there is a sense primarily in which this occurs at the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. At that moment, positionally before God, your old person is put off, your new person is put on, and your mind is renewed. It's made new. But there is also the practice. There is the ongoing reality that every day of your life, there is the need to be sure that we are living practically in line with what we are positionally. So that is the question that comes before us this morning. Am I living in a way that's in accordance with what God says I am in Christ? Is my life evidence that my mind has been and is being renewed? And is it evident in my life that I have put off the old and have put on the new? And again, that's a daily process of putting on and putting off that renewal. The tearing down, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul here is defending himself, actually, against those who were coming in and claiming to be true messengers of God and are seeking to discredit Paul, who had come and actually been used of God to found this local church, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is defending himself, but he shares something here that I think is very helpful for us as we deal with our minds. Notice in verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, he's in a human body, you're in a human body, we're all in human bodies. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This takes us back there to Ephesians chapter 6. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our primary battle is not against human beings. Now, they may be agents, and there may be a spiritual battle in which they're involved, but ultimately our battle is against the devil and his demons. And then he has a parenthesis here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. End of the parentheses. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He says, we have a battle going on in our minds. Now, there were false teachers there, and they were trying to convince the believers of things that weren't accurate according to God. And Paul is coming in, and he's doing battle against these agents of Satan. He sees it as a spiritual battle. And he said, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can have victory, and we should have victory. Because we have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And we have on the footwear of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, we have the shield of faith in God. And we have this helmet of salvation. And later we'll see this sword of the Spirit. We have mighty armor, mighty weapons to pull down strongholds, even as Satan will come against the believer's mind. Casting down, tearing down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He's talking about the mind. He's talking about our brain taking in information and our mind using that to reason, to make decisions about what we're going to do and what is right and what is wrong and what is bad and what is good and what is better and what is best. In every circumstance. And he said, we can have the victory, but we've got to tear down this wrong thinking, these imaginations, these reasonings. We've got to put off the old. We've got to recognize, according to the Word of God, where there is wrong thinking in our minds. And God wants to show us that. Satan wants to blind us and make us think that we're thinking rightly, because most of the people around us are thinking like that, but that didn't make it right. What makes it right is what God says about it. And it's God's mind. It's the mind of the Lord Jesus that we want to have on. But in order to do that, we've got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And everything that goes against the knowledge of God, we've got to be honest about that. We've got to be willing to open up our minds and our hearts to God and let Him show us through His Word what is really not of Him. Now, there are some things that are in our minds and we know they're not of God. Nobody even has to tell us that. You've dealt with things this past week, maybe even this morning, and you look back and you say, I know that wasn't of God. I know that line of thinking was not in any way of God. And I need to put that off. I need to set that aside. I need to tear that down by the power of God with the armor that He has provided. There may be other things, other lines of thinking that have infiltrated our minds and are directing our reasoning. And they're not right. Even though we don't understand it, we've got to be open to God that He might show that to us, that we might be renewed. Look over at Romans chapter 12. We've got the tearing down. We've got the taking off, putting aside, putting away the wrong thinking as God reveals that to us. And we need to be open to one another and to be willing to listen to our brothers and sisters in Christ, particularly those who have been walking in with the Lord and in the faith for years, because they've learned many things a lot of times through the school of hard knocks, unfortunately. But be willing to listen to one another as we take the Word of God and share it one with another. Let's be open to that. Let's be open to what God is showing us that needs to be put out of our minds. And then our minds are going to be renewed consistently. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let this culture squeeze your mind, your thinking, your reasoning and responding into its mold. It's trying to do that. It's trying to do that every day, 24 hours a day. Satan's the god of this world. He's behind it all. It's a spiritual battle. It's serious. But Be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. That your thinking might be changed, that God might be working in your mind to renew it, that you might think like He does. Why? So you can prove, you will know for sure what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know God's will for you, God's desires for you, God's thinking. That's what you want. Your mind has to be renewed. And then we see that we've got to put on the new man. We got to recognize the old. We got to tear it down by the armor of God, recognizing it, coming before God and desiring His help, admitting to Him that this is the helmet of salvation. If you're saved this morning, what did you do to earn your salvation? I hope nothing came to your mind, because there shouldn't be anything there, because we didn't do anything to earn it. No, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's by grace, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The same thing is true of being saved, delivered, rescued from the old thinking, the old person, the wrong logic, the ungodly reasoning. It's not of us. Rather, it's by grace, through faith. We've got to trust God. We've got to step out in faith and do what He says and be in His Word and let the Holy Spirit shine His searchlight into our minds and expose wrong thinking. Now, if we don't want to see the wrong thinking, if we don't admit it, then we're not going to see it. If we want to see it, God will show it to us, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then there's the putting on. There's the building up of our minds. What are you thinking about? Where is your mind? I'm going to show you a quick little 40-second clip here. This actually is an advertisement for improving your English. Now, you'll see, hopefully you'll pick it up as you watch it, the main guy in here. He is a trainee for the German Coast Guard. Okay, so he speaks German, but he comes across some people who speak English. See if you can follow along.
Das hier ist mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät, das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you get over? We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking about? You got it now? What are you thinking? I hope you won't forget that, not just because it was humorous, but I hope it'll help you remember to think, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? Where am I focusing my mind? Because when it comes to putting on that new man, when it comes to renewing that mind and building our minds that we might have on that helmet of salvation, so much of that comes down to what we are thinking about, what we're thinking about. You know, we have choices. I want you to turn quickly. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. The first one is 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I think here we have something that will serve as a nice background for several other verses that we're going to look at. Because what we want to understand here is that we have choices every day, all through the day, about what we're going to think about where our minds are going to be, what our focus is going to be. And as we think on specific things and our minds are in general going in certain directions, it's going to impact how accessible our minds are to Satan's attacks. Again, the goal is to protect right thinking, to protect godly, biblical thinking. Satan's goal is to come in and to bring wrong thinking. Here in 1 John chapter 2, We read in verse 15 concerning the world, and remember that we read in other places in the Scripture that Satan is the god, little g, of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is behind the scenes working through the world system to shape our minds. In verse 15, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Notice verse 16, "For all that is in the world," number one, the lust of the flesh, number two, in the lust of the eyes, number three, in the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So we have a contrast here between what is of God, the Father, and what is of the world. Satan being behind the world. Satan, your enemy. Satan, who wants to come in and influence your thinking. Satan, who is desiring to discredit your testimony for God. Satan, who is trying to steal away your joy. Satan, who does not want you to enjoy by appropriating the spiritual blessings that are yours in the heavenly places in Christ. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want, while you're living here on the earth, for you to be dwelling in the heavenly places in that close fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want that. And so he's attacking. And he attacks through the lust of the flesh. He attacks through the lust of the eyes, and he attacks through the pride of life. He did that with Eve. We go back to Genesis 3. He did that with the Lord Jesus. We see in Luke 3, there in the wilderness. Well, let's look at several areas of choice. First, go with me over to Romans chapter 8. We saw the first attack here, the lust of the flesh, the desires of our humanness, the desires of our bodies, our fleshly humanness. And over in Romans chapter 8, we read about a choice here. What are you thinking about? Where is the focus of your mind? You're making a choice. And notice what Paul, by the Spirit of God, writes here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And that there in the Greek, mind, that's a verb there, and it means to focus the attention on, to think about. "For they that are after the flesh focus on and think about the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity at opposition with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you got a choice here. He makes it very clear in verse 5 that you can either think about the things of the flesh, or you can focus on the things of the Spirit. John wrote there in 1 John chapter 2 that one of the attacks of Satan against your mind is that area of the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The flesh wants to be satisfied. It wants to be pleased. It wants what it wants. And it wants it now. And the tendency for us as human beings, even believers in the Lord Jesus, because we're still in the flesh, that fleshly part of us wants to focus on the flesh. It wants to focus on those things that we think will satisfy us. And we find when we try to partake in those things of the flesh that the satisfaction is very brief. Very brief. And it leaves us empty. But the temptation comes back again. And Satan again brings that desire of our flesh. And so Paul says, where's your mind going to be? What are you going to be thinking about? Things of the flesh? Things of your humanity? Things that you want, that you think are going to fulfill you, and they're going to meet some type of desire head on and satisfy that desire? no matter how it is that you attain it. And in our culture today, part of what the world is doing is saying, hey, come on a little closer to the line, you Christians. Come on a little closer up here. You don't have to cross over the line into the flesh, but get on up here as close as you can. Don't listen to those who are trying to tell you that you need to stay back from that. No, just have your mind over here. Your body doesn't even have to go there. But just your mind. And you can be pleased that way. It's a temptation of the devil. The lust of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. I won't go there. I won't be involved in that immoral activity. I won't overdo this thing that's okay, but I know it can be taken beyond where it should be taken. I'm not going to go into those areas, but I'm just going to think about them. I'm just going to imagine them. Paul says, to mind the things of the flesh is to be carnally minded, and that leads to death. And Satan wants you there. He doesn't want you focusing your attention on the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit. You might notice there in verse 5, the Spirit is capitalized. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God has those things that He wants you thinking about. He wants you focusing on those things that are of Christ. The Holy Spirit came not to speak of Himself, the Lord Jesus said, but actually to speak of the Lord Jesus, to bring the Lord Jesus and to lift Him high in your mind, and to bring to your mind the things of the Word of God, and to open up the Word of God to you that you can understand the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit of God is there to bring conviction of sin and to direct us in the right way. And He wants us to be thinking on His things. He wants us to be thinking about the Word of God. We read that the Holy Spirit is the one who led those men to write what they wrote. This was not human thinking. Rather, this is of God. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The beneficial. The pleasing to God. The complete will of God. We find it here in the Scripture. And the Spirit wants us thinking on His things. Not on how we can please the flesh, but how we can please the Spirit of God. So as we close this morning, we're going to have to carry this over to another week. We have some other things to look at. But as we leave here today, I want you to leave thinking about what you're thinking about. Where is your mind during the week? On what are you meditating? I know you've got to mow the lawn. I know you've got to go to work. And I know you've got to take care of your children. And I know you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And you've got to go to the doctor and you've got to go to the grocery store. I understand that. And God understands that, which is more important. But there's so much of our time that our minds get to go where we want them to go. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if it were not for Him, we would have no opportunity to have fellowship with You. You would never hear our prayers. We would be rightfully condemned for all eternity to the lake of fire, to judgment for our sins. We're all sinners. We've all come short of Your glory. But Father, we thank You that Your Son came and He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He rose again that third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. We thank You for the gospel message, the good news. We thank You that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of us. It's Your gift. It's not of our works. We can't brag about our salvation. And Father, we know that we must step out in faith. As you enable us by your grace, and you've promised to do that if we will seek to be obedient to you. And Lord, we know this area of the mind is so important. Satan is so busy, his demons, his principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, they're all after our minds, trying to come in to get us to think about things of the flesh, and you want us to think about things of the Holy Spirit. Father, there in your Word we find the things of the Spirit. Father, help us to be in your Word. Father, to be reading the Scriptures, to be meditating, to be memorizing. Father, that your Holy Spirit may take that during the day and bring it back to our minds. Father, when we're at a stoplight, help us to think about the things of the Spirit. Father, when we're loading the dishwasher, help us to think about things of the Spirit. Father, when we're in our workplaces, remind us to think about the things of the Spirit. When we're walking through the yard or down the path or around the track, Father, help us to think about the things of the Spirit. Father, when we're struggling with difficulty and problems and sickness and broken relationships, might we think about the things of the Spirit. Father, when we're discouraged and confused and anxious, Lord, remind us to think about the things of the Spirit. Father, when we're struggling with temptation, when the lust of the flesh comes at us, Father, might we think about the things of the Spirit. Father, thank you for your powerful armor. Thank you, Father, for your armor, your weapons for us that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And we thank you for these things and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.